Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Since 2007, overdose deaths from heroin have skyrocketed in America. The CDC counted 10,574 heroin overdose deaths in 2014. This represents more than a five-fold increase of the heroin death rate since 2002. Street heroin and prescription opioid misuse is an intertwined problem that has become an epidemic in America. And now that heroin has come to the suburbs, there seems to be a change of heart about what to do about it. It's no longer appropriate to arrest and jail addicts outright, but a kinder, gentler approach for treatment and harm reduction is being developed. We learn about it in a two-hour special program, Frontline Report, tonight on PBS. From that report, here's Washington State Department of Corrections Lieutenant Leslie Mills talking about the innovative LEAD program.
The hardest thing about LEAD is that the philosophy behind LEAD is let them be on their own timetable, which is frustrating for a cop. Greatest thing about being a cop, greatest thing about being a parole officer, you can solve that problem right now. Boom, you're in handcuffs, you're in jail. It's nice and clean. LEAD's not clean. LEAD's gray. LEAD is about we have to have a conversation about him and we have to give him another chance. And that's frustrating.
That's from tonight's Frontline program, a two-hour special report called Chasing Heroin that offers a look at the extent of the heroin problem in the nation and some new approaches to dealing with those who are hooked on smack. You can see it tonight on KLRN in San Antonio. It starts at 8 p.m. We're joined by the award-winning producer of Frontline on this episode. That's Marcella Garvia. And she's an award. She's won every award out there in documentary filmmaker. And Marcella, welcome to The Source.
Thanks so much for having me on the program. And I'm excited it's coming out tonight. This is a labor of love and a team effort and a pretty gripping hour.
It is two hours. And so we're seeing a metamorphosis in America. Heroin addiction no longer a crime problem, but a public health concern.
You know, it's incredible. I actually cut my teeth reporting on the drug wars. And back then, you know, for 40 years, our solution was to throw people in jail. And I wanted to understand, in the middle of a heroin epidemic, where 500,000 people have died in the course of 15 years from opioids and heroin, I wanted to really understand what had changed. Were there any new approaches? How were small towns in America dealing with this new phenomena? And you see different places experimenting with different things, but we ended up going to Seattle, where they have the longest experience dealing with this. It's a place that adopted practically a decriminalization model to drug use, low-level drug use on the streets. And I was curious to see that firsthand. So we spent a year there.
Just today, it was reported that the mayor of Ithaca wants his city in upstate New York to host the nation's first supervised injection facility, which would enable heroin users to shoot drugs under their care with a nurse without being arrested by police. And this is, you're not talking about this in your report, but this shows you how far people are willing to start thinking, the different type of thinking that's going into what to do about this heroin problem.
That's right. I mean, 5 years ago, people would have never floated that kind of ideas that are now being, you know, tested in different places. And, you know, when we're on the streets of Seattle watching cops, the officer you listened to earlier, Officer Mills, she bumps into a heroin addict shooting up, and she doesn't say, "You're going to jail." She says, "What can we do to help you? Would you like treatment?" And we look at that attempt to divert people out of jail and into treatment. And I think one of the big takeaways of the film is it sounds great. Those are all noble intentions, but ultimately the services that are out there for people, the access to medication, to treatment, to doctors, it's not there yet. So the system is incredibly flawed, which is why I think you still see the number of people dying from this rising.
When heroin was ravaging the streets in previous generations, it was lock them up. And that was particularly when it was hitting our minority communities very hard. And we didn't have this kinder, gentler approach. How much is this new attitude due to the fact that it's happening to little softball queens and people who were golden child at one point in their life?
Well, we spent some time discussing this in the film, and it was really surprising to me how candid people within Obama's own administration were on the issue. Attorney Eric Holder, who gave us a very interesting interview, he basically said, you know, he was pleased by the response to the heroin epidemic, but that he realizes that, you know, people are paying attention because this is affecting the majority community. And by majority community, he meant white people. And we have people from the Office of National Drug Control Policy that basically say, it's true, we're paying attention because white kids are dying in the suburbs and politicians pay attention when their constituents are affected.
Our phone lines are open if you want to join our conversation as we talk about the heroin epidemic and the new response to it. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. In March of 2015, the Secretary of Health and Human Services announced a Secretary's Opioid Initiative, a lot of recommendations. One of them was increasing access to naloxone, which is sort of a overdose cure drug.
That's right. A lot of fire departments and police departments across the nation are now using this incredible drug that you can just basically spray inside somebody's nose and it revives them instantly. And drug addicts are also being offered, you know, carrying these little sort of containers that are almost like sinus medication spray things. And, you know, it's saving a lot of lives. Mara Williams, who's profiled in this film, she's a young girl that dies from a heroin overdose. Her mother has started a project to try to get naloxone to more police departments and fire departments. So it's an important step.
It's it varies state to state on how much access you can get to naloxone. We know that naloxone is not a drug. You can't get high from it. All it can do is bring you back from an overdose. But here in Texas, access to naloxone is very limited. In other states, it's being provided widely because they know it saves lives.
Yeah, it's. I think, you know, one of the things in producing this film, you realize that every place is different, and sometimes the more rural a place, the less progressive people are about sort of adopting, you know, some of the possible solutions. Like there's drug courts, for instance, that deny access to medical assisted treatment. And from the experts we've spoken to, you know, that might be the best solution for people that are in the grips of addiction to go on methadone or go on Suboxone. And it's, you know, it's an important option. It turns out in the making of our film that three of the people we profiled, methadone turned out to be something that was sort of critical in their recovery. But in the case of one young man, right. He's on Suboxone, and it's really hard to get access to that medication.
All right, we're going to continue our conversation, taking a quick break. Our phone lines are open. The number is 210-614-8980. What do you think about chasing heroin? What's the solution? We'll be back in 1 minute. This is The Source on KSTX. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. There is a heroin epidemic in America. It's eating away at families and at cities. But how did this problem develop and what's being done to deal with it? Once the solution was to lock up the addicts, but now harm reduction is the goal. Tonight we get an insider's look at Chasing Heroin. It's on Frontline, a two-hour special documentary. It starts at 8 o'clock here on San Antonio on your public radio, on your public television station, KLTV. And with me to talk about this is the producer and an award-winning documentary producer of Frontline, Marcella Garvia. And let's get a caller on the line. Jane has called in. The number is 210-614-8980 if you want to join the conversation. Jane, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I was a heroin addict in New York and was treated very well and on, you know, basically free public medical service with buprenorphine and Suboxone. And when I got to Texas, found it very hard to have access to those medicines. And I wondered what your guests might have to say about that.
How you were in New York and you were dealing with it and you were able to get assistance and
I was
treatment?
Able to get, yeah, treatment from buprenorphine and Suboxone. In Texas, it's very hard and very regulated.
Okay. All right, Jane. Well, thank you very much.
And how is it that it's hard? You can't find somebody that
find providers. It's very expensive. It's, you know, you can go to any public hospital in New York and get access, but in Texas, not so easy.
That's right. I think your story is absolutely not uncommon, and I think that's why the problem is so bad right now, because simply too many places are just not offering alternatives. And you almost have to end up in a very large city where, you know, officials have been dealing with these issues for quite some time, and you get more of a response.
So, Jane, are you clean today?
I've been sober for 10 years, but you know, I know in San Antonio how big this problem is, and any former addict can tell someone who is, you know, high and who is high on the drug that you used to be high on, and I know how hard it is for people who are low income to actually get a treatment that will, and the help, both the therapy help and the chemical help that will help them get off of that drug.
Jane, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it, and I'm so glad to hear that you are sober today. So, Marcella, when you hear Jane talking about her story, I'm sure you know you've seen that in your work.
Absolutely, and you know, you just get a sense of just the desperation out there, because these are people that are, you know, in very fragile circumstances trying to get help. You know, nobody that's addicted wants to be addicted. I mean, I didn't experience that. I saw people that were like desperate to get out, but these drugs are, their grip is almost like a gravitational force, you know, and people are really struggling. And the longer you've been doing it, the harder it is. So it's really tricky.
Yeah, we had on the air a couple of weeks ago an expert on dopamine and the impact on the brain. And he talked about how heroin basically hijacks that mechanism that you have in the brain. And you become a hostage to feeding your brain that drug, and you have no control.
That's right. Honestly, you know, we interviewed one of the nation's foremost addiction researchers at the National Institute of Drug Addiction, Nora Volkoff, and she was very candid to us. She said that basically we really don't understand how the brain works, and we're in the very early stages of addiction science. Her theory is that when you take one of these drugs, it disables the impulse control, you know, part of your brain. So with repeated use, you lose the ability, and she uses the analogy, you lose the brakes in your speeding car.
Now, there is a connection between heroin addiction and prescription opioid addiction and abuse as well. And a lot of people started out with pain pills, and then they ended up on street heroin.
That's right. We tell the narrative of how the heroin epidemic has the origins in the opioid epidemic of the 90s, because we tend to forget that it all started with a legal drug, in the sense that we were, you know, popping pills, and doctors were prescribing this stuff freely. And a lot of people came home with bottles full of 60 pills of Oxycontin. And before you knew it, they were craving these pills. It's very important to state that somebody that takes a painkiller doesn't automatically become a heroin addict. In fact, a small percentage of people do. But what's interesting is because so many people are currently taking prescription opioids, we're talking about 200 million prescriptions last year. That's a ton of opioid prescriptions out there that a certain amount of people will actually get hooked. It's around 23% of people get addicted on opioids. And, you know, that's a substantial amount. You can't underestimate that.
So not everyone who takes these opioids are going to get addicted, but we have a portion of the population who are vulnerable to becoming addicted to it. And then we set up an environment where with these overprescriptions, where people were able to get access to these pills, whether they had like a knee replacement or you know, a C-section or something happened in their life, and now they had the pills and now they couldn't get off, and they switched to street heroin because it's cheaper and it's accessible.
That's right, very eloquently put. And you know, obviously, it's a small percentage, 2% or something like that. But the numbers start adding up, and you look at when researchers ask people how they got on heroin, I think it's 3 out of 4 people say they started taking prescription pills. So that wasn't necessarily by going to a doctor and getting a prescription. It's often just, sold on the streets. But that's significant that, it seems as safe. Just pop a little pill. Nothing will happen, Nobody will notice. And then before long, you could have a real problem.
And also, you don't cover this in the documentary, but this is something that as the Mexican drug cartels have less of a market for illegal marijuana because it's becoming normalized in the United States, they're pushing heroin to the streets harder. And so it's becoming cheaper and more accessible. And that's also part of the equation.
Yeah, you should know a lot about that, in Texas. I mean, we don't cover that, but we do explore how the Mexican cartels were at the ready. They noticed that, populations were already taking a lot of opioids. And as one of the characters in our documentary, one of the participants said, an opioid is an opioid. It just so happens that heroin is a lot more powerful and a lot cheaper.
Our phone lines are open if you want to jump in on the conversation, 210-614-8980. So parents, do they know what's going on? Are they the last to find out that their children are hooked on drugs?
You know, it's such an interesting question. I, before I started researching this, thought it was probably really evident if somebody was taking drugs and something like heroin. But I was sort of surprised to find out that the parents that had kids that were addicted to heroin really were shocked when they found out their child was using heroin. So it makes me sort of wonder how you can actually function kind of normally on heroin at a certain stage until you're, just really chasing heroin down the streets of Seattle and using a fair amount. But I think these parents had no clue, and I don't think that they were clueless parents.
To the phone lines with Samir. And Samir, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. Thanks for having me. It's an interesting conversation going on, and I'm glad that you're making people aware of this situation. I've been reading about it a lot, especially in Connecticut, but I think the real solution is too radical for America. Portugal, I believe, had a huge problem 10 or 15 years ago, and they decriminalized all drugs, and they focused on health care and treatment and help for the people. And I believe they've seen a pretty dramatic decrease in drug use overall, especially opioids. I just don't think we're ready for something like that in this country, to really look at it as a pure health care problem and not a criminal problem for the user and the addict. And that's my comment.
Great comment. Appreciate that. So, United States healthcare, it's a Swiss cheese sort of a system, not being able to provide the wraparound services that you need for these people who need treatment. You point that out in your coverage that people get involved in these lead services, but then there's no place to go.
Yeah, and, you know, I think the caller's right in that a lot of these things are, you know, perhaps as a society, we're not really ready for that. I mean, we had the Obama administration invite the folks that were responsible for LEAD to Washington, but there was some discomfort because it is sort of almost, you know, inching up on decriminalizing drug use, and that's something that makes the federal government very nervous. And I have to say that, you know, we have, you know, politicians arguing about whether to give food stamps to people. You know, a lot of this program is actually giving food stamps and a lot more support and housing to people that are using drugs, and they're not required to stop using drugs. So it's really out there.
Marcela Gavira is the producer of the Frontline documentary Chasing Heroin. It's a 2-hour special report, airs tonight at 8 p.m. on KLRN San Antonio's public television station. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I hope everybody tunes in. It's a cliffhanger at the end, so if you stick with it for 2 hours, it's worth your while.
All right. Thank you so much. This is The Source on KSTX.